Well, good morning again, and we're going to have a talk about children in the Bible. If we've got the PowerPoint up, maybe go to the next slide. And there we go. So I'm going to read a few verses from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and from verse 13. They're up here, and I'll read them to you. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. You know, here we have an account of parents bringing their children to Jesus. It doesn't actually say the parents, but I think it probably was the parents. And, you know, this is a story that was familiar to me from my childhood, when I used to go to Sunday school, and you'd have a picture like this with Jesus sitting down with children around him. And, you know, parents want their best for their children. And then these parents were no different. And they wanted their children to be blessed by Jesus. So they brought them to him. And, you know, even when people are not Christians or active Christians, you know, when they have children, they usually want the best for their children. And that often is a spiritual blessing for their children. And sometimes having a child can actually reawaken a spiritual desire in your own heart because of being a parent, and we want spiritual blessing or the best for our children. And as parents, it's our responsibility to bring our children up and to do what we bring them up to know the Lord Jesus and to do all we can to introduce him to our lives. One thing in this little passage that we read that is quite striking is the difference in attitudes to children between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus encourages the children to come to him. You know, he wants to bless them. And in his eyes, they have value and importance. Whereas the disciples didn't see that value. And they didn't see the children through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they rebuked the children and tried to keep them away from him. How do we view children? Do we see the value in them, the potential in them, as the Lord Jesus does? I want to look at three phrases in the sentence that Jesus has. If you go to the next slide, please. Okay, there we go. Jesus, he responds to the disciples and he says, "Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, and for such belongs the kingdom of God." Let's just look at those three phrases. First of all, he welcomes the children. He says, "Let them come to me." And you know, for us here as a church, we should welcome children and encourage them to come here and to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why here at Parkrest, we support activities for children, like the Sunday school downstairs, like Awana on Friday evenings, like Bible camps during the summer, like day camp. And for us, these are very important because we want children to come and to hear about Jesus Christ. We should never be too busy to overlook the importance of ministry among children and make them feel welcome here. So that's the positive. Let them come. The negative is, do not hinder them, he says. Don't put any obstacle in their way of coming to Jesus. And the disciples were hindering them. They were trying to say, just don't come. And the question here is, do I hinder children coming to Jesus? Do I, or how do I? If I'm a parent, you know, what is my home life like? That is where children spend most of their time. Do they see Jesus in my behavior? Do I encourage my children to come to church to hear him? Or do my actions hinder the children? The context of these verses, well, the verses before that talk about marriage and divorce. And Jesus is speaking about, divorce and how divorce can hinder children coming to Christ. And it can be very damaging emotionally for them, damage which can last a lifetime. So whether I'm a parent or whether I'm not, do I make children feel welcome here at Parkhurst? You know, statistics show that most Christians become Christians in their childhood or in their youth. If you look at the next, well, here we are. This is, a number of years ago, but this preacher, Horatio Bona, asked his Christian friends, when did you become Christians? And these are the statistics. It's only one sampling, but most of them were under 20 years of age, and certainly the vast majority under 30. And although you can come to the Lord at any time in your life, statistically, youth is a more important time. So it's very important for us as a church to encourage children to come into our life, to come to the Lord. The third phrase that he said was, let the children come to me, do not hinder them. And then he said, for such belongs the kingdom of God. What does this mean? For of such belong the kingdom of God. Well, he explains it a little further in the next verse when he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it. Whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it into it. And what he is saying here is that the only way to come into God's kingdom is with the simplicity of the faith of a child, simply believing on it. A child is part of a family, and we need to come as a child into God's family and to be able to call God our Father. John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 3, he said, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so I'd like to share with you three more verses that look at how a person becomes a child of God, how a person can come into God's family and be called and call God his Father. The first one is this. Oh, here we are. And as many as received him, this is Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And this verse says that if we receive Jesus Christ, if we believe in his name, we will become a child of God. Now, the phrase a child of God sometimes is loosely used, and we say, well, we're all children of God. In one sense, that's true, but really, the Bible tells us that we are all his creation, but there's only one way to become a child of God, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. As it says there, we must believe in his name. And it's, as it says there, to become a child of God, this verse tells us three ways that we cannot become a child of God, one way that we can. And what John says is this. He says, to be born again, to become a child of God, first of all, it's not of blood. In other words, a person is not a Christian because their parents are Christian or it's in their bloodline. You're not a child of God because your parents were or your family was. Then it says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. You know, a person doesn't have the power to save themselves. No matter how strong his willpower or her willpower or discipline. You can't do it by yourself. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know, no other person can do it for you. You know, not your wife or your husband or the priest or the pastor or a friend. But the only way to become a child of God is to be born of God. Only God has the power to save you. And the phrase born again can also be translated born from above. And so if we receive him as a child, like a child in simple faith, we're born into a new life and are a child of God. And we can call God our Father. Are you a child of God? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know the Father, God as your Father? This is the second verse I want us to look at, if we come. And that is the Father. John, in his epistle, writes this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And you know, as a parent, and those of you here that are parents, you like to give the best to your children because you love them. And so when you become a child of God, you're able to call God your Father. You've come into his family. And what a wonderful thing that is. Now, our view of what a father is like can be determined by our relationship to our physical fathers, you know, and what role your father played in your life can be very important. You know, perhaps you had a wonderful father and you've got wonderful, good memories. Perhaps you had an absent father or a father that didn't show his love to you. Perhaps you had a bad relationship with your father, and it can create negative feelings when you think of God as your father. But God is the perfect father. He wants to welcome you into his family, and he wants to call you his child. Why? Because he loves you. So we can be born into his family, we can become his child by believing on Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of being able to call God our Father. The third verse I want to share with you is this, and that is the next verse, is that I can say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus is speaking to a man called Nicodemus. He was one of the ruling elite in Israel at that time. He was a very religious man, a very right-living man. But Jesus says, you know, you've got to be born again. And if you go to the next slide, you might say, well, why have I got a baseball player here when I don't really follow baseball myself? But, you know, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is a picture of a baseball player called Goose Gosselin. Nearly 100 years ago, in 1924, it was the World Series. And he was a very, very talented baseball player. And the World Series, which was between Washington, he played for Washington, and New York. And if you know anything about baseball, well, the series was tied at 3 games each. It was the last game, the 7th game. It was the 9th inning, and the game was tied at 2 games each. And so the next run would probably be the winning run for the World Series. And it was the bottom of the 9th inning. 2 players were out, and this man was on the plate. After strike 1, strike 2, he hit a ball that was going out, and it just bounced on the wall, bounced back in, and he ran around and got to home base. But the umpire didn't signal him as home. And an alert New York player threw the ball to first base, and he was, and Gosling was out. And he didn't score the run. And what had happened is, you say, well, why? And people were asking why. Well, as he'd run round, he hadn't actually touched the first base. And so he'd done everything right except the very first thing. And, you know, that's an application there for life. It was for Nicodemus. and for us. You know, you can do everything right in life, but if you haven't started by touching first base of knowing the Lord as your Savior, it can be a very good life, but it doesn't count before God. And so that is why Jesus said you need to be born again to come into God's family. And how about you? How about us? Today we rejoice and we celebrate the birth of children and children into families. And we all have this opportunity to come into God's family, to be born as a child of God and to be able to have the privilege of calling him our Father. John wrote this. He said, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves God loves whoever has been born of him." Just the next slide. One thing about being in a family is that we share food together. And so we are going to share a meal downstairs. And it's been prepared by the Bertrand family. And we invite everybody to join us down there. So perhaps I could just close in a word of prayer. Father, as we think about children this morning and we celebrate them and we thank you for them, again, Father, we ask for your blessing on these children that have been dedicated this morning. And we thank you, Father, that you, in your love, want us to be a child of God, to be part of your family, to have the privilege of calling you our Father. And Father, we thank you for the provision of food downstairs. We ask that you'll bless it to us. And we ask that you'll bless our conversations and our fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And please come down and enjoy fellowship with us.